Honey, I'm home. Earth to Eric. Come in, Eric. Tell me, please, we have more technical difficulties.
It's low standards and poor.
There he is.
March 7th, 9:03 is the band time. Broadcasting outside of Foot Rock City. Welcome aboard. Hello, Art Boy.
Hey, it's my boy Eric. Hello, how are you, baby? You ready to rock and roll? We're gonna have some fun tonight.
You gotta turn up your. Hold on a second there, buddy.
Uh oh. Well, you're really loud in my head. There. You're like piping loud in my head.
What you trumping me on the intro? Remember, I told you I do the intro, you do the outro.
Yeah, well, the last time you did it, it didn't even come through.
Directions.
Did you ever figure out what the problem was? Why you couldn't get the intro to work for you?
What are you jamming to over there?
This is our Go All Night 6 and the 7s. One we're okay. Actually licensed to use.
You are getting a D minus on the use of intro and outro music.
Nice. You know, if you want to, Eric, we could go all night. I'm gonna fade that out the way you taught me to. How you doing, babe? How you been?
You probably
what's going
should.
On? What's the haps?
I have the intro music. You have the outro music.
Okay. Well, you know. The last time you did the intro music, you couldn't hear it.
How many times do we have to get this?
Well, but the last time you did the intro music, it was not playing. We couldn't hear it. No one heard it.
Did you hear it this time?
No.
What? You are so full of shit.
Okay, fine. Well, when we post this and, you know, our two friends actually listen to it who aren't related to us, they'll tell us that, you know,
My mom stopped listening to our podcast, so we're down to one.
Oh, all right. Well, my mom's still around, so, you know, we're good. We got at least one. We got one fan. We got a fan. Look, we are unrehearsed, unprepared,
one fan.
Inept, ill-tempered, illiterate, flagrant, flamboyant.
That was mediocre. Tom Waits from the album Bone Machine.
That was
and
the intro?
Song was Such a Scream.
Ooh.
And it's his 11th studio album.
Tom Waits freaking rocks.
I appreciate that. Not many people say that, but you have to appreciate. He's a good songwriter.
It's not something
you want to take to a party, but
he's an acquired taste.
Yeah, it's kind of like drinking say Heineken or tequila or scotch.
Scotch. Yes, thank you very little. He is an acquired taste.
You just take little bits and pieces.
Yeah. So, look, folks, we are starting off this show. We're claiming fair use because we're going to play some music. This is all copyrighted stuff.
Go ahead and sue us.
We have the lawsuits that Jameson, Walker, Statler, and Waldorf who provided us with many disclaimers. But really, the fair use issue is we're playing the music because we want to talk about the music and hopefully – you know, the three people who aren't related to us are going to actually, you know, go and buy the music and exchange real money for that music that we talk about.
Yeah.
This isn't for us. We haven't made a freaking dime on this. And in fact, it costs us $18,000 a month for our legal fees to keep us out of jail for copyright infringement. But no, you know, seriously, we're going to play some tunes that are copyrighted music and we just want you to go, oh, I remember that, and go either back into your particular record collection and play that song again, or if you haven't heard it, you just freaking go out and buy it.
Yeah, buy it. That's what this podcast, Music Cast, is all about. Go buy the music you haven't heard. Stop listening to the radio.
Yeah.
Listen to Spotify. Listen to Apple Music. Listen to Low Standards and Poor's music.
Support the artists who are creating good stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, and that's just where we are. And, you know, and so I'm going to start off with this. Part of our show tonight is there's going to be a quiz for Eric. I've selected five bands that have had what's considered critically acclaimed debut albums.
Right.
And I'm going to play a couple of seconds of the first one of the songs from that debut album, and you're going to guess, and you're going to get them all. I know you are, Eric.
And, you set me up. You know, you set me up every time. You put me on that pedestal, and you take the pistol out, and you shoot me like a bowling pin.
Just right in the knees. I can fall right to the ground.
I can hear your cocktail ice jingling right now, laughing and giggling.
That's right. I can't help it, man. But no, so I've selected five bands that had phenomenal debut albums from between 1978 and I believe 1995. So there's quite a range in there, and I'm trying to not pigeonhole myself into, you know, my particular favorites, which I know you know that I love.
We all do.
Yeah, everybody knows I'm an 80s baby, and I did not. I'm within that range, and I went outside of my comfort zone, and I made sure that I selected things that are actually good albums.
Going.
Where do you think it's going? It's going right up the rear end.
I did send you over. Before we get to that,
part of this is you had sent me a bunch of stuff this week, which I've also selected some songs to play that you can talk about.
Well, I'm not prepared. I'm looking at one of them right now, which I want.
It doesn't matter if you're prepared.
All right.
No one listens to us anyway.
This is all impromptu, as I wrote in the.
Yeah.
Podcast notes. I have no idea what the hell we're talking about tonight.
But Eric,
so
no one listens to us anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Don't say that. We're going to go Rogan pretty soon. Get it?
Right. And there's going to be
Rogan
like
a grind if you
listen,
want to be a millionaire.
Here we go.
I'm talking getting up at 2:45 a.m., gym, prayer, healthy breakfast. You don't do any of that shit. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. There's no fucking way I'm doing any of that. Not with that shitty attitude. I'm a Sigma male. Sigma balls.
I'm Sigma man. I've been researching Sigma. Sigma men. I have.
Sigma.
Oh my god. The crazy shit on the internet. Oh my god. Well, I shouldn't say I've been researching it. I should say I watched something.
You've been laughing at it.
What in the hell is going on out there?
So you know who those guys were, right?
Well, of course.
That's the thing you sent me, and you were like, what's going on with this? I can't.
Where the hell is the rest of the band? Where is everybody?
Eric, share with the crowd, both people who are listening eventually.
Well, there ain't nobody listening right now. But...
Well, share with our vast audience of, you know, my family once they pick this up and realize that it's been recorded and available. Share with them the whole story of this particular band.
Well, I'll give everybody the cliff notes. We've talked about this before.
A lot.
I love it. Yeah. As Al Karp and I were getting to know each other over the last 20 years-ish, we have been partners in concert going, however you want to say it. Usually me that whatever.
You're the one that finds the thing, and I go... Oh, that sounds
I kind of initiate the concerts, knowing that Al Karpe will probably like.
Yeah, I'm
and
your plus
so
one.
I'm out of the house because
I am your plus one.
And he's married, and he's got a dog that never stops barking, and I'm single, and at the time I only had myself to worry about. So, anyways, there was a band up and coming out of Ohio, and I was tracking them for quite a while, and I'm like, you know, I really dig these guys. And as Al Karpe well knows, and some of you well know, I track concerts and what's coming to Detroit. And all of a sudden it says, well, this band is coming to the Fillmore, I believe at the time, or State Theater. I don't remember what it was. Same venue, just changed names.
Right.
And I said, Al Karpe, you're coming to a show with me.
Don't worry about what it's all about. You're coming to a show.
Right.
And so I purchased tickets. And I don't know how long ago was it? Like 5, 6 years ago? 7 years ago? It's been a while. It was four years ago. So it's probably...
It was long before COVID.
Yeah, it was probably like six, 7 years ago.
Easily.
Yeah, and they were just ramping up. I mean, they were putting out some good music, but they were just kind of hitting the airways and stuff like that. So so I buy these tickets, and I said, okay, let's meet at the Fillmore at this date and time, blah, blah. And I think at the time, you knew who the band was, but I don't think you knew much about them. And we got to the show, got our cocktails, we started hanging out. And Al Carpi and I are the ones that kind of, you know, we stand towards the back, close to the bar and close to the bathroom and whatever, blah, blah. Right. And that's kind of our, it's kind of our MO. Right. And these guys get on and just start wailing out.
Just rocking. Yeah,
these songs. And I was like, damn, these guys are a good concert, you know?
And I'm sitting there like amazed in the whole thing going.
And it's loud. Dude, you can't really talk. Yeah.
Yeah. You picked a rocking good show.
Yeah. And so.
And what did I say to you?
And so Al Carpi is like.
Three minutes into the first song.
Yeah. He's like, you know, these guys are fucking kicking some ass, but I can't see the rest of the band. I only see like two guys. I'm like, that's all there is. Just the lead singer, which plays lead guitar, and the drummer.
Yeah.
And so I think you were kind of taken back by that, like kind of trying to figure everything out. Yeah. And so the name of the band is the Black Keys.
Yeah.
And like I said, we saw them probably about 7 years ago. I'd be curious to know when exactly.
It was. But these guys, 16.
Yeah, have got a ton of energy and a ton of talent. It's Dan Auerbach, Patrick Kearney.
The song in the background is called "Beautiful People Stay High" by the Black Keys, and this was uploaded to YouTube a month ago.
And it's an Akron band, Akron, Ohio band.
Yeah, I believe this is off their new album that's coming out in April.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you sent me that thing through the whatever link, whatever thing you sent me through the texting thing, I started going Black Keys crazy. Because I really do like these guys, and I'm so happy that you did expose me to them.
Well, these guys are pulling from like that old 60s, 70s rock.
Right.
You can hear the organ.
Bluesy.
Yeah.
It's that bluesy rock and good. It's like a garage band that made it big. You know? It's the guys you want to root for. I saw these guys in this little tiny little place, and God, I wish they could play in front of 1,000 people. And these guys are doing it.
Yeah, so Black Keys, an American rap duo formed in Akron, Ohio, 2001.
Yep.
Dan Auerbach, guitarist, vocals, Patrick Kearney, drums. Let's see.
And they're good guys. They're just good guys.
Yeah, Dan Auerbach, lead singer, has got a lot of music in his family. Some of their influences are Junior Kimbrough, R.L. Burnside, Howlin' Wolf,
and Robert Burnside Johnson. Is great.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I played R.L. Burnside a lot.
Yeah, yep. And at the time that we saw them, the 2000 Auerbach performed the Black Keys in East London. So I bet 2008, we think. So it's 2023. So it wasn't that long ago. Let's see. How was breakthrough? So Brothers and Commercial Breakthrough, 2010 to 2011. So that's roughly 12 years ago. I don't know if it was that long ago. Well, hold on. El Camino? Hold on.
We saw him. I think I was already working at the one place. We saw him. It was probably around 2016, 17.
So that was Turn to Blue and Hate Us, 2013, 2018.
I figured that out the way you taught me. That was the Black.
They actually did some recordings at the Key Club in Benton Harbor, Michigan. Interesting.
Yeah.
It was probably between 2013, 2008. No, it was longer than that. This is like, God, well, I guess it doesn't matter. But nevertheless, at the time that we saw them, You couldn't pack in more energy into a show between two guys.
Two guys.
It was phenomenal.
Oh, my God.
They put on a phenomenal show. They've calmed down a little bit. I think just the style music they were playing had to kind of, you know, slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
But they are extraordinary.
And this is R.L. Burnside. I wanted to play them and then contrast them with R.L. Burnside. It's that same bluesy feel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and R.L. Burnside is 138 years old and just freaking rocks guitar. But anyway, I'm going to fade that out when you tell me.
Yeah, I just wanted, 2008 I to put was Attack and Release, El Camino Tour,
there.
Lonely Boy, Turn of Blue. Let me see.
Oh,
I'm just trying to get an idea of when we saw them, but I can't remember. It's every bit of 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, easy, easy peasy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
But that was a good show.
Absolutely.
Let me see.
Hold on.
He'll keep calling me. He'll keep calling me until I come on. Guilty.
Bill, I've got the tickets. Bill, I've got the tickets. It's only 15 minutes from your house. They're for your birthday, Bill.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, man. Yeah, so I can't figure out with some. Doesn't matter. Right. But nevertheless, I keep getting these feeds that come over on through Facebook Reels or whatever I'm watching. And they keep kind of – they're doing kind of a spoof on a podcast. And I thought it was kind of funny, and I'm like, do these guys actually have a podcast? Because I know they stay pretty busy with songwriting and whatnot.
Right.
And so I sent it over to you. I'm like, see if you can find these guys on a podcast, because I couldn't find them. And I went through like Spotify and some other ones, and I think it's all just a spoof.
And it was. It was a spoof. They were just promoting the album.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is another version of Beautiful People Stay High. This is the official video of Black Keys. I really like this song a lot. I really do like these guys. And they have since added more members to the band. There's a bass player, there's a keyboard guy. You know, they've grown into a full band, but it's still just those two guys that really just rock it out. And if any of this sounds even remotely decent to you, it's the Black Keys. This is a show that's so worth going to see.
Get a load of this. So this is the Wikipedia early history.
All
guitarist
right.
and vocalist Dan Auerbach and drummer Patrick Kearney first met when they were 8 and 9 years old, living in the same neighborhood in Akron, Ohio, a couple of houses down from each other.
Right.
Auerbach and Kearney both became musical both come with musical backgrounds. Auerbach is a cousin of guitarist Rod, I believe it's Quine or Quinn, Q-U-I-N-E, Quine, a veteran of New York's avant-rock scene. Kearney is the nephew of saxophonist Ralph Kearney, who performed on several Tom Waits albums.
No shit.
Never knew that. Never
There's
knew
your
that.
Tom Waits relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It is crazy how all this stuff is interconnected.
I'm serious. This is, of all the things that you've introduced me to, the Black Keys are by far my favorite. And you know, who's the guy from Detroit, Jack White?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
the White Stripes.
I've known of the White Stripes before our getting this whole thing together and doing this podcast deal. I've known of them, and you sort of kind of pushed the White Stripes in my face. And I really appreciate that, because they're freaking rocking. But of all, I'll fade that out the way you taught me to. But of all the different things you've ever introducing me to the Black Keys was the best ever. Because
I think that was probably one of the best shows that we've seen that was more impromptu. That we didn't know what to expect.
Well, I had no idea whatsoever. I was walking in there blind and stupid. Yeah. And like you said, I was looking at the band, and I have a classical music background. I understand classical music. I've been to many, many DSO concerts, the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. And my father and mother have both taught me how to parse out and listen to and hear specific instruments as they are playing at the symphony.
Yeah.
And when my two of the three of my kids were in marching band, and I could pick them out, I could pick out, you know, I could hear each instrument as it was doing its thing. And I was able to focus because I was taught how to do this. Right.
Yeah.
But when I go to see the Black Keys with you, I'm sitting there going, I'm hearing all of this sound and I can only see two guys. I was able to, you know, I could watch the DSO and look at the individual who's playing the first violin and hear the first violin separate from the 20 other violins.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool.
Watching the Black Keys and I'm hearing all of this sound and there's only two guys there. I'm like, where the is this coming from?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where that whole conversation came from. It was like, I don't, my brain exploded. And
the cool thing is they're not overly produced. It's just a ton of energy that really works well together.
They just, you know, watching the guys do the little promo things for this new album that's coming out in April, I believe it's April 7th. Watching the guys do the promos, they're just having fun.
They have a sense of humor. A lot of bands don't have that. You have like, you know, guys like Axl Rose from like,
it's too business.
They're all getting in fights and arguing, drunk and fighting all over whatever.
These guys just love making music. They love making music. They love entertaining people, and it just shows. And one of the things this afternoon, I was watching a show they did, in January or February this year, 2024, that was on YouTube. And they were talking about the album and the songs that were coming out. And they just looked like they were having so much fun making the music.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I love about, just enjoy the guys who enjoy making the things that we like to listen to.
Yeah, I was listening to somebody talk, and it was a discussion about music and stuff. And I've been getting more into your buddy Rick Beato. I've been watching his podcast, and
he's freaking brilliant.
He's Rick, fun to listen to. It's a light conversation about bands that most of us can relate to. And he talks about the composing side of it, and he talks about kind of like the influence side of it, like how the bands were influenced, how their songs influenced people and the industries and stuff like that. But I want to jump back and kind of get back into the professor of rock, because he's pretty interesting too. I like listening to him.
Oh, that guy's so great.
If you're not listening to Low Stands and Pours, which most of you don't, listen to Rick Beato, B-E-A-T-O, and also the professor of rock for some really good information about music.
Yeah, the professor of rock is a guy who somehow has the ability to interview a lot of these super famous people.
He's just a wealth of knowledge. Corner
and Journey.
I wish I had that back.
I Believe Her Too. Just like these huge bands, he's talked to these people face to face, and you can see the interview. And that's Professor of Rock, and he's available on YouTube. I'm sure he's available elsewhere too. But he is the show that I would wish we could do.
Okay. So let's do a little segue here. So I'm listening to Rick Beato, right?
Right, go ahead.
And this was just the other day, like yesterday or the day before. And he's talking about this band, and I'm like,
okay, I've heard of that band.
Yeah. And I'm like, I swear I've seen that band concert. Right. And I'm like, I'm listening to them, and I'm like, you know, I remember liking them a lot, and I remember being kind of enamored by them.
The
and
English Beat,
it's one of the bands that I sent you, and it's Muddy Magnolias down by the riverside. Why don't you put that on? Because I'm going to have you play that, and I'm going to have you play something else. I have to pick the song for you to play. You could pick anyone you want, really.
By the riverside.
Yeah, play that. Yeah. So he's talking about this band that had so much talent but never took off. Nobody picked them up.
Right.
They never got much airplay. Right. Yeah.
Great guitar work already.
We'll get a list and
this is as far as I got.
Yeah.
The rest of this is new to me. I didn't hear anybody singing when
It's like a white kind of country type.
Yeah,
there's two singers. One's white, one's black. The black girl has got the just most beautiful voice, like gospel, country, bluesy, strong as hell. And then the white girl
reminds me of Two Tone Records.
Yeah, just compliments. Yeah. And I don't know their names, but they're gorgeous together.
Oh, Rick Vito is mentioned in here too.
Yeah. So, let me see. So, this was a warm-up band for somebody that me and Fuckballs saw at the film. I'll tell you that in a second. I'm just trying to figure out what song to play.
Who did they open up for?
This is Down by the Riverside, just one second.
By a band called Muddy Magnolias.
Yeah, let's do.
God, I love their voices.
Oh, they're phenomenal, and I'm like, I was just enamored by them. And in concert, I mean, this song doesn't do me any justice. It's good.
Right.
When you see them in concert, we are right up against close to the stage. I'm like, these women are phenomenal. It was all about their voice. 100%.
Well, and that's a lot of it. What's your story? What are you singing about?
Yeah.
Does your voice belt it out? Does your voice convey that feeling of what you're singing about? These girls have it.
The band that we went to see was Gary Clark Jr. And if you want, you can play Come Together. He does a cover of Come Together.
Oh, Gary, the Beatles Come Together?
Yeah, Gary Clark Jr. Come Together. He's got a bunch of other really popular ones, but we'll just pick that one since you're a Beatles lover.
All right.
Well, we're both a Beatles lover. But...
Come Together. All right, so I'm going to fade this out. These girls' voices...
Like, how do those girls not get airplay? You know, for something as beautiful that is. And this goes back, this goes to another conversation. We'll talk about that some other time.
Okay. When are we going to talk about it? What are we going to talk about?
Well, I don't know anything about it, but I just heard about it on Rick Beato.
Right.
And it was something that Bill Clinton did. And what Bill Clinton did, and I forgot the name of, and excuse me for my ignorance, but I'll tell you in a second.
Okay.
Go ahead and play. Are you playing Gary Clark Jr.?
This is Gary Clark Jr. Come Together, coming up.
So I believe he came up from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
He's kind of new and upcoming. Well, he's been new and upcoming, but he's been in the game for probably the last 10 years pretty strong.
Okay.
And he's known for his blues guitar work. And
Good.
Yeah, he's a deep, kind of hard driving, concentrates on like the notes. You can hear it, right? He's concentrating exactly on playing his music for that song, if that makes any sense. I mean,
there's a lot to this.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
He's got depth.
So me and Fuckballs went to go to see him in concert.
Right.
And Muddy Magnolias opened up for him. And then I just watched Rick Beato, and he's talking about Muddy Magnolias, and I'm like, how do I know Muddy Magnolias? And I played it. I looked him up on YouTube, and then I kind of backtracked, and I remembered, oh, yeah, they opened up for Jerry Clark Jr. And I saw Gary Clark Jr. like 6 years ago, 5 years ago, something like that. Me and Fuckballs wrote the song.
Right. This guy's good.
Yep.
This is got a
nice, kind of a cool spin on Come Together, eh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, this is a famous song, but this is a really good version.
Yeah. It's got that heavy blues kind of jam to it, you know?
What else does he do? And now I'm very interested.
Yeah, you know, he did...
Is Numb a good one?
Numb is a little bit different. I mean, Numb is more hard driving, but you'll get a, like...
How about When My Train Pulls In?
Yeah.
Let's try that one, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
When My Train Pulls In. Let's see what the commercial is going to be. Oh, it's
Gary Clark Jr.
All right. We got to give it 6 more seconds here until the commercial ends. Or this court. Fucking YouTube.
Did you end up watching Professor of Rock about Tears for Fears?
I may have. No. Did you send it to me?
Yeah. Another one that you didn't.
Well, yeah, because I ignore you all the time. It's my job. It's what I'm supposed to do.
It's what you're good at.
Yeah. There's something about this guy. This is Gary Clark Jr.
He's not
When My Train Pulls In.
You know, like when you listen to, you ever listen to Stevie Ray Vaughan?
Yeah.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's got a hard driving energy it's less methodical.
He's more driving.
I shouldn't say methodical. It's more hard driving.
Yeah.
With this guy, Gary Clark Jr., is more, like I said, what's the word I'm looking for? It's more like, it's deep.
It's cerebral. It's cerebral.
Yeah.
There's something very heady.
Like, you're going to listen to my music, this is how I'm playing it, and we're going to groove hard on this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
This is definite blues.
Yeah.
This is good stuff.
This evokes feelings.
Yeah. I like this guy.
Well, he's coming to concert.
No
he's
shit.
Coming back to concert. Yeah, I don't know if there's tickets available still to look into it. He's awesome concert. He's really good.
Oh, I could imagine. There's something. There's definitely something to this.
Yeah, he's kind of like. I can't compare him to Black Keys, but he's heavy blues rock. But he just does it his own way.
He's almost like he's got a certain Buddy Guy feel to him.
Yeah.
With the guitar work.
Yeah.
There's a certain, and if you've not listened to Buddy Guy, then, and this is not for you, this is for our listener who might join us later. But if you've not listened to Buddy Guy, that's a person who plays mean ass guitar. Buddy Guy, you pull up anything he's done, and Buddy Guy's been around forever. I'm gonna fade this out the way you taught me.
Yeah, he's coming May 21st.
Who is Gary Clark
to the Fillmore? Yeah, the Fillmore.
Fillmore.
Yeah, it's one of the best venues that these shows at here in Detroit.
Yeah.
But I can see if.
That's Gary Clark Jr.
So staying room, so main floor is $64. So with fees and all that, it's probably like $80 a ticket for standing room. But you'd enjoy it. I'd go see him again.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hold on, March, April, May. Yeah, I should be
like that. Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
$84?
Yeah, like around $80 would probably be the ticket. Because there's 64 without fees.
Right.
So with the fees and all that, it's probably like $80.
Yeah, because you know they gotta milk us.
Yeah, they gotta juice you for everything.
We've done a couple of your stuff.
Now yeah,
I want to quiz you.
All right, let it rip, Tater Chip.
This is where the fun starts, folks.
Let me pull up my Shazam so I can.
Yeah, get your Shazam ready while I do this. The law offices, Jameson, Walker, Statlin, and Waldorf provided us with the following disclaimer. Please listen to the show and risk. These guys are mildly insane. The views expressed by the host are not necessarily those of rational human beings. All shows are poorly researched, presented by idiots. That's you and me, Eric. Any semblance of intelligent thoughts are purely coincidental and should not be considered factual. This program is not endorsed by any community, team, group, band, organization, or tribe. No animals were harmed in the production of the show except for two rats and oversized mongoose. He was asking for it. Please check with your doctor prior to listening to the show. Not available in Colorado or Delaware, unless, of course, it's available in Colorado or Delaware. That is the disclaimer provided to us by the very expensive law offices of Jameson, Walker, Statler, and Waldorf. Eric.
Don't sue me. Sue El Carpe.
And you'll get, you know, 45 cents for me because I have some used burnt wood out in the backyard.
That are growing beautiful plants. Well, soon to be. Right,
exactly.
That'll be ready in the fall.
They'll be ready
with a total value of about probably 48 a couple hundred bucks.
No, 48 cents, give or take a dollar. So
I'll get those magic mushroom seeds. You can make a bunch of money on that.
Right, exactly. So what I'm going to do is I've got five bands to throw at you, and I want you to get, I'm going to give you, very brief instrument beginning of each song, and you're going to go, oh, that's these guys. And this is the, debut albums for each of these bands. So here we go.
Oh.
Go ahead.
The Police.
That's right.
And
that is
enough synchronicity. That's enough synchronicity.
No, Can't Stand Losing You.
Yeah. I don't know what the album is though.
Synchronicity was like their fourth album.
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta open this up again because I have all this stuff. There we go. Second, Outlandish Gamora, which is their first album, 1978.
You know, that's a sad thing. You don't hear too much from the Police anymore. And they had, you know, they had a big jazz background too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that, but between Sting and what's his face, the drummer, I see him on podcasts and stuff like that.
Somerville or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Who?
Why does Somerville come to me?
Yeah, that's Sting's real name. Hold on.
I'm thinking of the other guy.
Yeah. Police. Man.
So here's the one that everybody knows.
Andy Summers and Stuart Copeland. Stuart Copeland was the drummer.
Yeah.
But apparently they had strong jazz backgrounds. You can hear that in their music.
Well, and you know, this song was made famous by a bazillion different things. Number one,
well, I always remember it. Was it 48 Hours? Was that it?
Yeah.
It was 48 hours, right? Yeah. That's the only one I remember.
Richard, Eddie Murphy. He was singing it at the very beginning, but you know, and 48 Hours came out in 81, 83.
Yeah, early 80s.
This song came out in 78. But yeah,
hard to believe
this
song came out in 78.
Phenomenal music, and you know, it's. I know.
You know what we have to do? We got to do a show on all the songs. We have to do a show on all the songs with female.
Female rockers? What? Hey, hold on, let me figure this out.
Yeah, turn down that noisemaker. You know what? We should do a show on all the songs that have single female names like Roxanne or Valerie or
those guys from the that place.
There's Diane, there's one by Husker Du, there's a whole bunch of them.
Easy peasy.
Valerie. You know Valerie. I'll know it in a second.
I do.
Yeah.
Valerie,
not Bertinelli.
Bless me.
Valerie.
No.
Song.
The song.
Oh, God. I hate this podcast. I can never get it right.
looking it up, or am I going to have to find it for you?
Yeah, it's an 80s band. Yeah. Valerie. Or is it Valerie? Am I thinking of the right one? Oh, my God. Anyways, I'll get back to it. It's not Valerie. But you'll know exactly Steve what Winwood. I'm talking about. No, I'm talking Steve about Winwood. 80. I'm talking about 80s band. Jesus. My Jesus. It's not Valerie. Is it Valerie? Down. Not the Motels.
It's Valerie. It's Steve Winwood.
Valerie song, 80s. No.
This one?
Valerie.
This is the Valerie.
It's not Valerie, but it's as soon as I see it, you go, oh, yes.
You're
yes,
thinking
yes,
of
yes,
a different girl. But there, well, yeah, something there's a gazillion. But there's a gazillion girls that are talking.
No, I know. As soon as I see it, you'll know it. Anyways, we'll get back to
it. Yeah, that one. So here's, we'll completely interrupt and we'll go to the next band that I was thinking of that had a great initial debut album. And you're going to go, oh, these guys.
Yeah, this is.
And this is from, I believe, 1991.
Was that Skinny Puppy or something? What was that? Oh. Nine Inch Nails.
The Hate Machine. Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this song is The Head Like a Hole.
Yeah.
I'd love
to know more about him, too.
The studio version.
It's like under the radar.
There's about 18 different versions of this song out there. But Nine Inch Nails really, like, changed the way punk and hard rock.
Well, are you still there? Did I completely lose you? What's up there, Sally Ez? I think I just lost my my co-host, Al Carpe. He got disconnected.
There he is. Speculating. But
You disconnected yourself.
Pretty Hate Machine was a great album.
He plays pretty much all of his own instruments for the most part when he records. But he plays everything. It's keyboards, guitar, drums. And the style of music he plays, he can blend all that in and still get that hard driving, like aggressive type sound that he's got, you know?
Right. And this is a Terrible Lie, which is the other one. I'm going to only play a couple seconds of this. But I wanted to let you know that as of Monday next week, I will have new internet service, which is going to be
thank God I'm sitting down. I probably would have passed out and hit my head.
Exactly. 5 times faster than what I currently have.
And you're going from like a quarter G to 5G?
I'm going, sure. Whatever.
Yeah, I have Verizon 5G, and there's never a hiccup.
I would love to have that, but they don't offer it in my space, which we've discussed this 1,000 times.
You have more than one option out in Sterling Heights. There's more than one.
I know. Yeah. All right, whatever.
Oh,
that was, no, there really isn't. There's a monopoly.
You're the only person that I know that craps diamonds.
Oh, geez, and rice. So here we go. Just
a little bit of
bite
little
me
bit of
and chew on it, like you wouldn't believe.
I don't know a lot. I don't know a lot about Zaza, but it's Uncertain Smile.
So this is from.
What's the name of the album? I don't know a lot about them.
This is Uncertain Smile.
Yeah.
Soul Mining,
yes.
I bought this album a month after it came out. And then I bought the CD when it was immediately available. And I listened to this so many times. The sound.
What he meant to say is I bought the 8-track. Not to date El Carpe, but he bought the 8-track.
If there was an 8-track, I would have bought it. This is worth every penny. If you purchase...
Al Carp and I are only a couple years apart, but he's going to shoot.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you give me crap because, you know, I, next time I
you
see
you got more gray hair than I do.
Hey, I went to the barber the other day. I told her to cut out the gray hair. Yeah. I'm bald now.
There's nothing left? You're bald?
No, nothing left. I'm bald now. But, so this is from the album Soul Mining by the band The The. If you buy this album, you can play this from beginning to end. There is not a bad song.
No.
The entire thing. Every single syllable this guy utters is meaningful to whatever song he's singing. This is just phenomenal, you know. So this is Uncertain Smile. The flute part I love dearly. You know, there's 8 versions of this song, and this is probably the best one. But I'm going to fade that out the way you taught me to.
You know, ironically, the name is Uncertain Smile, but we certainly had tickets to this show.
Certainly chew on this. This is a song called Perfect on their debut album, The The. The lead singer guy is Matt Johnson. He is a phenomenal talent. But this, hold on, this one, okay. You may have heard this on the radio before. I mean, Eric, you and I have, but I'm talking to the younger folk who may or may not have, you know, both of our listeners who may or may not have had the experience that we have. But the lyrics in this tells a great story. I'm going to fade that out the way you taught me to.
You know what? I got it.
Tell me, what do you got?
This is driving me absolutely nuts. And as soon as I say it, you'll be like, oh, God, yes. It's one of the best songs out there.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, you'll know.
This is a song from the first album, Soul Mining, called This Is The Day. And the lyrics in this tells a phenomenal story.
Yeah, you know what I like about, I can, when I'm listening to this song, I can hear Rick Beato talking about, that's what I like about his show. It's lighthearted. It's very informational, but it's lighthearted. Yeah. I mean, you could easily just kind of kick back and listen to it. And,
both of those guys.
And gather up all kinds of information.
Yeah, Rick Beato and the music guy, whatever is that other one. They're both phenomenal because they have that insight. You know, that wonderful insight of all the background stuff that you and I wish we could do, but we just...
Yeah, I don't have it. I was hoping you had it, but I told you when we started this, I don't have it. I hear the music, but I don't have the background.
So when I was looking up some of this stuff, actually this afternoon, I fell back into Bananarama and the Go-Go's and Two Tone Records and all of those links.
Yeah.
We're going to do a very detailed, good show. I'm going to actually do some research on it. It probably won't be until fall where because I got a shit ton of outside projects I got to do for like 8 different people. But when it gets close to fall, I'm going to do some
serious. You better put a hammer and a bag of nails on your kids' hips. Tell them to get to work.
That's already done.
I had to. My dad made me do everything.
Anyways. My kids are going to help me do all this shit when it comes to the garden. And building the garden boxes for my neighbor who's going to pay me. And I've got a bunch of, like I told you about, the car wash my buddy purchased.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got me doing all the gardening for that. So, you know, I got it. Yeah, they're all in it. But come fall, I'm going to do a in-depth who was related to who between Bananarama, the English Beat, specials.
You know what you gotta do? You gotta get like a poster board or like a white, like where you can just put it on your wall and can start connecting everything so you can start scratching.
Oh, I've got graph paper. You know what I'm saying? I've got graph paper.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go. So anyways, that was the so hold on. This is the day. I'm gonna fade that out. out the way you taught me to. I want you to guess this one. You're going to get this, Eric. You're going to get this in like 4.2 seconds.
Don't set me up. Oh, of course. Sultans of Swing.
By whom?
And that's by, hold on. I was looking up the other. It's this podcast. I listen to the cover all the time, and now I've forgotten.
Right.
Not forgotten, but,
and that's what happens is you remember
straight.
One part.
Yeah, Dire Straits.
Exactly. You remember the one part and you forget the other. But yeah. This is Dire Straits. This is Sultans of Swing. Other songs are on this that are also very, very good. I only pulled the one because it's Dire Straits. I mean, if you don't know Money for Nothing,
yeah,
then you don't know nothing.
I am I'm flipping through my like songs, and I know it comes up somewhere. It's driving me crazy. Forget it, I'm gonna put it down. Never mind. Okay.
Put it down.
I put it down.
Be part of the show that we're in right now. We'll do a different show later. We can do that one. So anyways, the Dire Straits, this album came out in 1978 also. That Nine Inch Nails one we were talking about came out in 89. Dire Straits, 1978, self-titled album, Dire Straits. Sultan of Swing and Down to the Waterline is also on that. I didn't pull that song. It's a good tune. But if you want, if this song in the background that you're hearing is new to you and you kind of like it, you pull the 1978 Dire Straits album and just go listen to the whole thing. Because it is really good, beginning to end. Everything is, and is it Mark Knopfler?
Yeah, Mark Knopfler.
Yeah, he is a phenomenal storyteller. He's just a great songwriter.
That's what I love about this song, is like if you really listen to it, he tells a whole story about what's going on with somebody playing in a bar or something like that. It's pretty interesting.
Right. But the whole album is that way. And that's something, fade that out the way you taught me to. It's something that I was trying to search for in some of these, you know, initial debut albums from bands. It's like, what are the ones that really tell a story? What are the ones that really mean something to people?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, here's one. I know you're going to know this in about 0.8 seconds, Eric.
All right.
And those of you, the two of you who might be listening, can go ahead and try and guess this one too before Eric does. But
crazy ending.
Yeah. How long did that take?
Yeah, no, I've been actually listening to them. That's probably why I thought of it sooner.
Four notes? Was it four notes? Eric,
I would say
that's the thing about Heart. And this album, 1976. With the U.S. debut, this is Dreamboat Annie. This song is Crazy About You from that album. And honestly, Heart laid the foundation for a lot of rock and roll ladies. They just did. And, you know.
Well, there was some, like the Joan Jett was kind of similar.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac with Stevie Nicks.
Right.
You know, she was belting out some big tunes back then.
Right, but I mean,
you know, then you had you also had some of the softer rock, which I'll think of in a second.
That was Heart Crazy on You. This is the other one that I pulled, which, you know, the first two notes, you go, oh yeah, Magic Man. And the lyrics, this is again from Dreamboat Annie, Heart's first album. And if you look into the history of Heart and what they went through to become what they became, this is a rock and roll story. These guys, Heart is a rock and roll legend. And, you know, of course, we're not going to do any justice to these guys who just freaking rock. I'm going to fade that out the way you taught me to. But, you know, Heart, just amazing. And if any of that sounds familiar or you liked it or whatever, again, go buy the album.
Yeah, find for sure.
Find the band's website and buy it from the band's website. That gives the band the most money. And, you know, Heart's been around since 78 or early, well, a couple of years earlier, because they were doing bars and stuff like that. But, you know, these gals are old. And they're still freaking talented.
I was just watching the podcast. I think, I don't know if she was on Rick's show or somebody else. Maybe it was on Professor of Rock, but they're, I think it was Professor of Rock.
Yeah.
The lead singer.
He was interviewing her.
Amy, is it? Yeah. Or dark hair. Yeah, he was interviewing her. It was pretty interesting.
And again, that Professor of Rock guy is phenomenal. He has the ability to interview some of the greatest people. And again, he can be found on whatever place you find your podcasts and YouTubes and whatever. But, you know, go and patronize these people and you know, listen to their stuff, like their stuff, because that only gives them more whatever. You don't have to be, you don't have to be one of those patrons that says, I'm going to give you a dollar a month or $4 a month or whatever. You can just like their shit. And that helps them produce more stuff. And like, for us, and listen to us more often. And that will give us,
for as long as you can.
0.04 cents a year. And that will help defray the cost of the ability to make this show that no one listens to, and it'll be fine for us. So here's another band for you, Eric. Yeah, you know, it's been 14 years. We've had 7,000 downloads. It's a band from 1995. And you're going to go, oh, yeah, these guys. Actually, I might be surprised if you guessed these guys.
Was that it?
My venue. These are not my guys. This is not my thing. But this is a band called the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah, I was, you know, I've been following them to see when they're coming to concert.
Okay.
They've got a ton of talent. A ton of talent.
They really
I have been listening to these guys.
Like I said, this is not my... It's there's something about these guys I like.
A little bit psychedelic.
They're not quite my thing. But
I think the name of the band throws it off a little bit, too.
No, I don't care. But it's just that the sound itself is a little bit... It's like very, very unique. I like it, kind of. Like I said, they're not my thing, but I really do enjoy the uniqueness of it. There's a certain speciality about what the music that they play, and there's a very good quality musicality to it. And I'm like, this is good stuff. It's not...
Yeah.
Something I would sit and listen to the entire album, but the Dandy Warhols from 1995, their first album is called Dandy's Rule Okay, and this is a song called Ride, which I think is really good.
Yeah, they have another song their early years are 1994 to 1995-ish. Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Alternative rock, psychedelia, garage rock.
They're good. I'm like at a point where like I like it, but I don't know how much I like it.
It's kind of like, yeah.
This isn't coming up. This is Nothing to Do with Dandy Warhols. It's good music.
Yeah, I've often talked about... The
previous one was very full.
The Brian Jonestown Massacre Band. I've talked about them a lot. Assemble Head and Sunburst Sound. I've talked about them. They all got similar sounds, but it's more of that psychedelic.
But here's
kind of almost 60s type music.
This is a follow-up, and this is the Dandy Warhol song that I do like. This is from a later album.
Yeah, this is the one that I hear quite a bit.
Yeah, this is the Bohemians Like You. This is the famous one. But their first album, really good.
Well, see, now that reminds me of Sloan. If you listen to that, you'll like Sloan.
I'm with you.
Sloan's got 20 or 30 hits that are just like that. They're all excellent. They're excellent concerts.
And that was Bohemian Like You. First album, like I said, was really, really good. I don't have any complaints about it. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know much about them. It's one of the ones that have kind of slipped through the cracks, but they put out some good music.
Right. This is one from you that you sent me earlier this week. The Inbreds?
Yeah. See,
this
I gotta look
I listened to about the first 2 seconds of it, and like, that sounds interesting. And now that we're going through it, this is a live reaction to it, but
yeah,
I dig it.
Any Sense of Time,
Any Sense of Time, The Inbreds.
A couple of these were kind of a shot in the dark, but I sent them anyways. They just kind
of
caught my ear.
Some of your shots
in
the dark, Eric, sometimes your shots in the dark are like phenomenal.
Yeah, no, I know.
I don't give you enough credit for some of the stuff that you throw my way.
You should. You are right now.
And most of it is because most of it is because I'm just a dick and that's just how I am.
See, that's why I like this song as it picks up. It's got that grunge sound to it.
Yeah. It does.
Almost reminds me of Nirvana.
I wouldn't go Nirvana. I would go more.
What do you think?
Who's the other guys?
I'm thinking.
I'm with you.
It's the style.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know what it sounds like? It's a little bit like Sonic Youth, a little bit.
I was going to go somebody else. That other band that I.
Yeah, why don't you play that? I gotta run upstairs real quick for a station identification.
Right.
Play that really quick, and I'll be back in 2 and 2.
I'm gonna do Cold Sleeves.
All right.
Yeah, this is a good song. Yeah, you do your station identification. I'm gonna go ahead and remind everybody that we are unrehearsed, unprepared, unprofessional, inept, ill-prepared, illiterate, flagrantly flamboyant, moderately mediocre. Most welcome to the show. Thanks for sticking around as long as you did. Tonight we're gonna do some injustice to another great band or more by offering some awesome music that they've played, and we'll do our half-assed bits, acknowledging that we thought up this shit 10 minutes ago. So let's have some fun. Hey, baby, that's my kiddo. Just walked in. We're doing a show. And eventually Eric will come back from his identification. Just remember, folks, you haven't paid for this. So when you're disappointed, you got nothing to complain about. What you're listening to now in the background is a band called Release. The song is Cold Stare. It might be the other way around. I don't know. It's something Eric sent me. I think the band is Cold Stare. The song that's released. It has that 60s feel to it, doesn't it? It's off the album, I'm imagining it's called Dead Ghosts. Pretty good stuff. Yeah. It's got a bit of the
Material
the
Issue.
It's got a bit of the Kinks feel to it.
Material Issue.
Material. What's Material Issue?
Issue.
Oh, you know, I might have to do a station identification.
Valerie Loves Me. That's the name of the song.
Oh,
Valerie Loves Me. Yes. That's what
I know that one.
Of course you do.
What's his name?
I told you.
Hold on.
Material Issue.
material.
I'm like, I thought it was just Valerie.
Valerie Loves Me. Okay, so that was Cold Stare or something or another. Material Issue.
I didn't know they were from Chicago.
Who was?
What was that?
That was...
Material Issue was from Chicago. I didn't know that.
No shit.
I never really thought about it, but yeah.
Oh, that's another commercial. God damn it. All right, let's get here. This is a great tune. I'm going to... I have to do a station. I remember this song. This is a great tune.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We're going to let this play in the background.
Yeah, go take a squirt.
I got to do station identification. You do the talking thing for a minute. I'll be right back.
All right, let it rip, Kidder Chip.
Oh, thanks, baby, for showing up. This is awesome.
Who's that?
Valerie Loves Me.
What's up, sweet angel? Oh, you already left. All right, so Material Issue. A little bit of Wikipedia. Was formed in 1985, led by frontman Jim Ellison, who played guitar and sang lead vocals and wrote most of the band's songs. Ellison met bassist Ted and Sonny while both attending school at Columbia College, Chicago. This was like an iconic 1980s song. And it helped define the era for sure. I'm just going through and looking up some. Let me see. Material Reissue, 2011, to commemorate 20th anniversary of the International Pop Overthrow album. The two surviving members, Mike Zelenko and Ted Ansani, reformed the band under the name Material Reissue, so it sounds like the lead singer had passed. It looks like they had, let me see. Albums. They had four: International Pop Overthrow, Destination Universe, Freak City Soundtrack, and Telecommando Americano. Interesting.
Yeah, we are so doing a show about chicks.
Yeah, I was just looking up some information on Material Issue, and this is another band that kind of falls through the cracks a little bit. They didn't have a ton of songs that hit the charts, but
I like
this one's
guys.
Iconic. I mean, when you think of 80s music, this is one of them. I'm sure it's got to show up in a film somewhere, right? Where's your filmology background knowledge?
Oh, I'm not going to look that up now.
Yeah.
But at some point, we're going to... Yeah, Valerie Loves Me, baby. That's great. Yeah, that was a Material Issue. And, you know, you... Once you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, those guys.
Yeah,
and that's exactly how it works out, you know? That's just too funny, you know?
Wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Could we ever get through a show without doing this?
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really
know. No, it was pretty terrible. You have to play it. It's a staple.
Hey, boo.
It's a necessity.
I only do this because I know it makes you smile.
Well, I keep picturing us two up in the, what do you call those? Well, it's a balcony, but what do you call the, when you go to see an opera and
the
mezzanine
or whatever.
Yeah, the mezzanine.
The two old coots up there. Yeah. That's you and I. We are
losing
so going to be there.
And...
Yeah. Scratching our nuts and just watching and whatever. And, you know.
That's, I
see the runner. Take that off. What are you?
Genius. And I sent you over that black flag.
I know.
How Black Flags come to concert at the Tangent Theater.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
there's
no way that Henry Rollins is playing and they're at the Tangent. Because they could sell the Fillmore at least. Because they're just an old iconic band that any punk rocker would go see just for the experience. But when I looked him up, Rollins ain't playing. It's the original. It's the original singer, which I think probably maybe more people might go, but I just know Black Flag from the original singer, or from Henry Rollins. I mean,
right.
Did you play? You didn't play Dead Ghosts. What was the other one I sent you? We were talking about Sigur Rós a little bit. I'm looking at what I sent you. We didn't play Dead Ghosts, Cold Stare.
Yeah, you were taking care of some issues.
I've got a couple. I went to the dentist today, thank God.
Whew. Yeah? You still have teeth left? Yeah, I did talk about
I had
this.
A couple good ones.
Here's to
you did?
While you were out, I played Dead Ghosts. But I want you to tell me why you sent this to me.
Tell Dead me Ghosts?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The song is Cold Stare.
Oh, because it reminded me of the Six and Sevens.
And I believe what I was talking about is reminded me of something more from the 60s.
Well,
like the Kinks or something.
Yeah. No, I agree. But for some reason, I kind of thought of the Six and Sevens when I heard this. And I'm like, I'll send it over there.
All right. So, tell me about, you sent me the Dead Ghosts, Cold Stare. And so I'm looking at this, I'm like, this has that 60, how old is this album? When this come out?
I'm going to check.
Yeah, look this up, because I'm curious now. I really want to know.
It says, Dead Ghosts are four-piece garage. Rock and roll band from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Right.
Raunchy lo-fi recording style, country-esque vibe. That's right. We did talk about this. No, so maybe from the same thing.
Yeah. When did this come out?
Let me see.
Because, I mean, this has that 60s feel to it.
Did this come out
in 2012 or, 1975? This freaking good stuff. And again, folks, the two of you who are listening, this is the song. It's Cold Stare.
Okay, so they were formed in 2007.
Oh, well, there you have it. They're pretty newish.
Terribly old.
I really do like this. It does have that sort of Kinks
definitely feel to Kinks.
It. Yep. Yeah.
I don't see anything more in the background yet.
There's something else in there that I'm hearing. The way the guitar riff is going up and down. It reminds me of something else. I can't think of what it is.
Talking about like the Beach Boys or something, or like
Velvet
Underground.
Similar to something like that.
The Chups.
Like somewhere in between. No, it's not Messer Chops, but there's a certain rhythm to this, to these guys. This is good stuff.
It says they're still active, 2010s, 2020s from Vancouver.
I'd go see these guys in a heartbeat.
Yeah, there's not a ton of information on them. Let me see. Oh, here we go. Dead Ghosts were formed 2007 by longtime friends guitarist Drew Wilkinson and singer guitarist Brian Nickel.
Right.
Blah, 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 2010, blah, blah, blah. In 2020, Dead Ghosts were back with an album, Automatic Changer, as the group expanded to a quintet with the addition of Craig Pettiman on keyboards. Not a ton of information on them, but...
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, you don't need it.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
So you're serious?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Did you ever play... Bait Kush.
Oh,
did we ever play that last week?
We did do that last week for a second.
Let's
throw that up just for shits and giggles.
Maybe Bait I wasn't paying attention.
Kush.
You sure?
Yeah. Oh, why is it Bait Kush?
Yeah.
B-A-T-E.
Yeah.
Running up that hill.
Yeah, you could do that one or play something completely different. It's going down, I think, is
walking down that valley.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Yeah, why not?
Bait Kush.
Yeah. You had sent that to me, and I immediately when I looked at it, I thought, oh, Kate Bush has a new album out?
I thought that was your dry humor coming out.
Yeah, no, and you freaked me out completely. And I listened to one of the songs you sent me, which was the Running Up That Hill, which was like, what the frick am I listening to?
No, I know.
This is Bait Kush walking down that valley. And the other one was ridiculously weird. This is also very weird. It is not like a remake, like a, I don't know. There's something weird about it.
Little electronic, little dance.
Yeah. And, you know, hey, whatever. But, you know, and that's the thing about our show, right, Eric?
Yeah.
We'll try anything once. Sometimes we'll try it twice.
You know, Spotify has been a big crutch for our podcast, you know?
Right.
It really has. And I mean that with, on a positive note.
Oh, well, this is going on in the background. This is actually pretty interesting.
It's different.
Yeah. The other portion of the disclaimer that we've received in the past week from law offices, Jameson Walker, Satlin, Waldorf. Excessive exposure to the show has caused the following in test groups. Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depression moods, depressed moods, and suicidal thoughts or actions while listening to or after listening to the show. Some people have had allergic or skin reactions like rash, hives, itching, red or irritated skin. If you notice swelling of the glands or testicles, please stop listening right away. It may cause excessive painful flatulence or constipation. With prolonged exposure to the show, occasional erectile dysfunction may occur. Use caution while driving or operating heavy machinery. Talk to your doctor and listen to the show. I gotta tell you, I've had a blast tonight.
Yeah, it was a good show. Good impromptu show. Thanks. Whoever listened out there.
You know, the two of you who may have listened to this, we really appreciate the both of you listening. And as well, we do about 30 to 40 seconds of research before we do the show.
Yeah, it takes us longer to set up the show than we do the research.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I mean, when it comes down to what's going to be the best thing that we can do for our folks and really enjoy having a good time, and it's all about us. And we really don't care if you like it or not.
Yeah, we're going to keep plugging along.
Yeah, we're going to do our thing, and we're going to have a blast.
Whether you like it or not, or you listen or not.
But so, I'm going to play our going out song, which is, of course, by the Six and the Sevens, right?
Let it rip, Peter Chip.
As soon as this pretend commercial goes away. Eric?
It's always been a pleasure.
Faded out Bait Kush, walking down that valley the way you taught me to. I've had a blast.
Yeah, thanks everybody for being a part of our show.
Next week, thanks to both of you for showing up and enjoying what's left of what's little of our show.
Oh, crap, is going to put some liner notes together.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the great music that we've talked about.
I'll send that crap to you. But seriously, I think we need to do a show where we talk about the influence of... two something or another.
Yeah.
With Bananarama and English Beat and all those guys. That album label that was so short-lived, but pumped out. And I did some research on that today at work while I was in between doing nothing. and that will be a fun show. That will be one where we actually have information,
which is yeah, we'll so do some unusual research on that
for
one.
Us. Yeah, that's going to be so unusual for us. We're going to actually have real factual information. Most of the thing, our show is all about having the fun, and it's always been about me and Eric having fun talking to each other about the shit we like.
Amen,
if join us, if you join us, we're happy to have you. If you don't, then you didn't miss nothing. It's just two buddies shooting the shit about music. What are we sharing? Anyway, so.
Hey, thanks for listening. 1023 Standard Time, Detroit Rock City. El Carpe, signing out.